Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Second Chances on Huckleberry Hill by Jennifer Beckstrand. Narrated by C.S.E. Cooney. Chapter 1. Martha Sue Helmut stomped down the cellar stairs, wondering just how she'd gotten herself into this mess. She loved Christmas. She adored Christmas. Usually, by December 1st every year, she had a silly grin on her face that didn't leave until well into January. Christmas celebrations, school Christmas programs, and Christmas goodies made her wildly happy. But this year, every smidgen of Christmas cheer had completely abandoned her. She didn't want to sing Christmas carols or hear her relatives wish each other Fröhliche Grüßtag. She did not want to decorate the house with pine boughs or light candles or go on a sleigh ride. She wanted to put on her pajamas, sit next to Mommy's wood stove, and read a book. Something depressing like Martyr's Mirror or Tongue Screws and Testimonies. But she couldn't even do that because it was Christmas Eve, and at least a dozen cousins and assorted aunts and uncles congregated in Mommy and Dottie's great room for the family's traditional Christmas Eve dinner and carol singing. Martha Sue had volunteered to fetch Mommy Helmut's famous, or infamous, huckleberry raisin jelly, just so she could be alone with her unpleasant thoughts for 2 minutes, instead of having to put on a good face for her merry, filled-with-the-Christmas-spirit relatives. Huckleberry raisin jelly didn't sound half bad. But Mommy meant for the jelly to go on her famous, or infamous, cheesy jalapeno bread at tonight's Christmas Eve party. It didn't seem a very appetizing combination, but Mommy was famous, or infamous, for her out-of-the-ordinary recipes and stomach-churning food creations. If she didn't want to starve, Martha Sue was going to have to take over the cooking while she stayed here with Mommy and Dottie. Martha Sue had arrived at Mommy and Dottie's house 3 days ago, and she wasn't here just for the Christmas holiday. She'd be staying with Mommy and Dottie all winter and into the spring. Maybe longer. Martha Sue wasn't exactly sure whose idea it had been for her to come to stay with her grandparents. Mom had wanted her to get out and see the world. And by get out and see the world, Mom had meant getting out of Ohio and going to Wisconsin. Dot said Martha Sue's visit was a good way for someone in the family to keep a close eye on Mommy and Dottie. They weren't getting any younger. Dottie was 87, and Dot thought they might need some help. Mommy and Dottie were old, but they seemed perfectly capable of taking care of themselves and their farm. Mommy was healthy enough to knit a dozen pot holders each week, cook 3 simply awful meals a day, and gather eggs every morning, rain or shine. Dottie mucked out the barn and hitched up the horse like a 40-year-old. They didn't need Martha Sue's help. Martha Sue had been so eager to get out of Charm, Ohio, that she hadn't paused to consider why Dot, or Mom, or Mommy really wanted her here in Bonduelle, Wisconsin. And then, 3 days ago, when she'd stepped off the bus and had seen Mommy's beaming face, Martha Sue had suddenly known why she was here. She'd been tricked into coming so Mommy and Dottie could find her a husband. Why hadn't she realized it before she had made the long trip to Bonduelle? Mommy and Dottie were famous, or infamous, in the family for being persistent and successful matchmakers to many of their grandchildren, and Martha Sue was the next victim on the list. She was 30 years old, and there were no prospects in Charm. Ach, well, no prospects she hadn't already rejected, and she certainly wasn't going to give Joost Beiler a sideways glance ever again. Lord willing, her moving to Wisconsin would be the final nail in the coffin of that relationship. Joost was the real reason Martha Sue had agreed to come to Bonduelle, no matter what Mom's or Mommy's reasons were. Martha Sue wiped a foolish tear from her cheek. She didn't want to think about Joost Beiler, or any other man from Charm, or any other man from anywhere else, for that matter. She didn't want Mommy and Dottie to find her a husband, because at this point it would be an old bachelor who was sick of cooking for himself, or someone with very bad eyesight who was willing to settle for a plain Amish maidl. It didn't matter that Mommy and Dottie had found suitable matches for more than a dozen of their grandchildren. They wouldn't find anyone Martha Sue wanted to marry, and no one who would want to marry her. And that was that. Mommy was the dearest soul in the world, and she was going to be very disappointed that Martha Sue didn't want her help finding a husband. But it would be best to let Mommy down sooner than later, before she invited half the single Amish men in Bondiwell to dinner. Martha Sue found a pint of deep purple huckleberry raisin jelly on the shelf, next to a row of bottles labeled pickled kitchen scraps. She didn't even want to know what that was. Huckleberry raisin jelly on cheesy jalapeno bread was bad enough. Upstairs, someone knocked on the front door, and there were muted Christmas greetings and laughter. The family was still gathering. Now would be the perfect time to mention to her grandparents that she didn't want a husband, and to please not try to set her up with anybody. Mommy would be too distracted to be upset. Dottie wouldn't care. And then maybe Martha Sue could enjoy the party. She hurried up the stairs and into the great room. At least another dozen relatives had arrived since she'd been downstairs. Cousin Titus and his wife, Katie Rose, knelt next to Dottie's easy chair having a conversation with Dottie while their two little girls ran around the great room with some cousins. Several of Martha Sue's cousins and aunts busied themselves in the kitchen with dinner preparations. Mommy didn't fix Christmas Eve dinner anymore. Her daughters had taken over the meal several years ago with the excuse of easing Mommy's burden, with the added benefit that the Christmas Eve dinner was actually something everyone enjoyed eating. Mommy sat in her rocker holding the hand of little Isaac, Moses and Leah's youngest, listening intently as he told her something that looked to be very important to a three-year-old. Marianne and Jethro were there with their twins, as well as Martha Sue's sister Mandy and Mandy's family. Even Cassie and Zach Reynolds had come. Cassie had jumped the fence a few years ago and married Zach, who was a very important doctor in Chicago. Cassie hadn't been baptized, so she hadn't been shunned, and everyone loved having them at get-togethers, because Zach told the most interesting medical stories and didn't mind giving piggyback rides to all the great-grandchildren. Zach also gave free medical advice, and he was always cornered at these gatherings by anxious mothers wanting him to look in their children's ears, or curious adults wanting him to diagnose a rash or a weird mole. Martha Sue handed her sister Mandy the jelly. Mandy grimaced when she read the label, then took it into the kitchen to add to the goodies piling up on the counter. Martha Sue sat on the sofa next to Mommy's rocker and waited for Isaac to finish his story about almost getting stepped on by a cow. Mommy listened and nodded at all the right moments and kissed Isaac's finger, which had been injured in a separate incident with a wringer washer. Isaac skipped off to play with his cousins, and Martha Sue found her opportunity. She leaned closer to Mommy. "Mommy, thank you for letting me stay here with you for a few months." Mommy's eyes sparkled. "It's my pleasure." She patted Martha Sue's cheek. "You look so much like your mother, just as pretty as a picture. I know some boys who will be very interested to meet you."
"Well, Mommy, I want to talk to you about that."
"Oh, about what?"
"Mommy," Martha Sue said, taking her mommy's hand, "I love you very much."
"And I love you. I'm shocked that some nice boy hasn't snatched you up already."
Martha Sue cleared her throat. "That's what I want to talk to you about. I know that you invited me here so you could find me a husband." Mommy's eyes widened in surprise, and then she grinned.
"Ach, well, I guess the cat is out of the bag. Who told you? Was it Felty? He's usually so good at keeping secrets."
"Nay, I figured it out on my own, but I'm not here to meet boys. I'm here to spend time with you and Dottie." Mommy blew a puff of air from between her lips.
Ach, why would you want to spend time with us? We're old and boring. You need to be with people your own age. You're so happy and bubbly all the time. People are naturally drawn to you, and you are naturally drawn to other people.
Martha Sue was going to have to be more blunt. I'm old too, Mommy. Nobody wants to marry me. It would be an awful chore for you to have to find me a husband.
Mommy patted Martha Sue's hand. But, my dear, it's not a chore. I love helping my grandchildren find spouses.
She gestured around the room.
Your Dottie and I have helped at least a dozen people in this very room to good marriages. It would be our pleasure to do the same for you. No thanks necessary.
But I don't want a husband. She must have said that louder than she thought, because the adult chatter in the room went silent. De Kinner still made a commotion, but the noise level in the room dropped considerably. 20 pairs of eyes stared at her. She felt her face get warm. This was definitely the worst Christmas ever.
Ach, Mommy said, you don't mean that. Everybody wants to get married.
Not everybody, Martha Sue said, because there really was nothing to do but stand her ground. No one wants to marry me. That wasn't precisely true, but Martha Sue wasn't about to try to explain Jost Beiler. Dottie patted the arm of his easy chair.
That's just what your mommy thought when she was a girl. She didn't believe anyone wanted to marry her, but every boy in Bonduel was secretly in love with her.
Mommy blushed from her neck to the top of her forehead.
Ach, Felty, no one was in love with me but you. And maybe not even you. Maybe you only married me for my cooking.
Dottie laughed.
For sure and certain I love your cooking, Annie Banani, but I was so in love with you. I wouldn't have cared if you served cardboard every night for dinner. I would marry you all over again 1,000 times.
Martha Sue wasn't sure if it was a deliberate attempt to distract her, but Mommy and Dottie completely forgot about Martha Sue as they told everyone the story of how they fell in love. It was a lovely story with red-hot cinnamon rolls, Christmas caroling, and plenty of knitted scarves to go around. After Dottie and Mommy finished their story, Mommy gave Martha Sue a grandmotherly smile.
You see, dear, you may not know it yet, but you definitely want a husband.
Martha Sue's heart sank to her toes. I don't think it will work for me the way it worked for you.
Of course not. It will be your own beautiful love story.
Mommy's smile faltered.
The truth is, I've already found you a husband. He's coming after dinner to meet you.
Most of Martha Sue's relatives laughed. Some, like Mandy, looked as if they felt sorry for her. Martha Sue felt sorry for herself. Someone knocked on the door, and Martha Sue nearly jumped out of her skin. Mommy drew her brows together.
I don't like tardiness, but I dislike earliness even more.
Martha Sue's cousin Moses grinned at her.
You might as well answer the door. Apparently, it's for you.
Martha Sue trudged to the door as if she were going toward her doom. It didn't help that every eye in the room was focused on her. She opened the door and lost the ability to breathe. Jost Beiler stood on Mommy's porch, bundled up like a snowman. Chapter 2
Hello, Martha Sue. Wie geht's?
A doubtful smile played at Jost's mouth.
Jost Beiler?
Mommy had brought Martha Sue to Huckleberry Hill to match her up with Jost Beiler from Charm, Ohio? Mommy stood and clapped her hands, obviously willing to overlook the transgression of early arrival.
Invite him in, Martha. I'd like everybody to meet him.
Martha Sue stepped back so Jost could come into the house, but as soon as he crossed the threshold, Mommy's smile stiffened.
You're not Vernon Schmucker.
Puzzled, Jost looked behind him and turned back to Mommy.
Nay, I'm not. I just came to take Martha Sue back to Charm.
Martha Sue folded her arms. You're not taking me anywhere. Yost frowned.
I'm sorry. Poor choice of words.
He looked at Mommy.
I came to beg Martha Sue to come back.
Martha Sue's heart beat an irregular rhythm. This was one of the things she most adored about Yost, but also made her the most aggravated. Yost was always willing to lay his heart out for everyone to see. She would have to be equally as blunt, and she hated hurting him.
I'm not going back, she said.
Of course you're not going back, Mommy said. You haven't met Vernon Schmucker yet.
Yost's expression fell.
Who is Vernon Schmucker?
Mommy's look of confusion faded, and she gave Yost a genuine smile.
This isn't your fault, young man. How could you have known what I had planned for Martha Sue? We'd love it if you stayed for dinner. But I would be wonderful grateful if you would leave before 7. It would be quite awkward if Vernon showed up and Martha Sue's boyfriend was here.
He's not my boyfriend, Martha Sue said. But she said it gently, almost regretfully, because she just couldn't be harsh with Yost, not after everything that had gone on between them. He'd made a lot of effort to come all this way.
Mommy seemed unruffled. Ach, Felty, this is more exciting than I could have hoped. A love triangle.
Yost glanced at Martha Sue, seeking her approval, which he wasn't going to get.
I'd love to stay for dinner.
Mommy shook Yost's hand.
Well then, welcome, and Frelike Grittag.
Merry Christmas to you too, Yost said. Mommy took Yost's coat, hat, and scarf and led him to the sofa.
Now Martha Sue will have 2 men to choose from.
Martha Sue pressed her lips together as Mommy showed Yost her latest knitting project and gave him a potholder to take home, even though he wasn't Vernon Schmucker. There was nothing Martha Sue could do but ignore Yost completely and help the others get Christmas dinner on the table. She barely paid attention as Titus and Moses engaged Yost in a conversation about farming and what crops Yost was going to plant this year. She didn't even notice when Yost told her cousins about his son, Jonah, and about how his first wife had died 9 years ago.
She couldn't have cared less when Yost recounted his bus ride to Bonduelle in the heavy snowstorm and how he had hired a driver to bring him here to Huckleberry Hill.
Yost helped Moses and Zack carry the sofa into the back hall, and they quickly set up 2 folding tables for dinner in the great room. The adults used the big table that Dottie had built for Mommy when they were first married. That table had seen 13 children come and go, plus too many relatives and friends to count. Because Mommy and Dottie had taken so long to tell the story of how they met, dinner was almost an hour late, which meant they had 15 minutes to eat before Vernon Schmucker arrived. Martha Sue's dread grew like poison ivy. She did not want to eat Christmas Eve dinner while Yost stared at her with those piercing blue eyes. She didn't want to think about how far Yost had come only to be rejected. Again. She didn't want to be reminded about how much she loved him while trying to gag down Mommy's cheesy jalapeno bread. She most certainly didn't want to have second thoughts about her decision. What was done, and it was best if Yost moved on with his life. Martha Sue would never move on with hers. What made it worse was that Mommy had already found a potential husband for Martha Sue, and Martha Sue didn't want to meet him. She most certainly didn't want Yost to meet him. Yost would be hurt at the thought of Martha Sue marrying someone else, and he didn't deserve even 1 more ounce of heartache. She just wanted him to be happy, wildly, perfectly happy, without Martha Sue in his life. Was that too much to ask? Maybe the cousins and aunts and uncles thought they were being kind, or maybe they were teasing her, but when they all sat down to eat, they arranged themselves so that Martha Sue and Yost were forced to sit next to each other. Martha Sue profoundly felt the awkwardness of the moment. Her face got warm and her ears started ringing. Ah, to be anywhere but here! Was it too cold to spend Christmas Eve in the barn with the cow? She kept her head down and tried to make herself invisible. If no one noticed her, she might be able to get through dinner without being sick. After silent prayer, Mommy passed her cheesy jalapeno bread around the table.
"Now, Yost," she said, "I hope you don't think I'm being rude, but I don't want Martha Sue making any final decisions about marriage until she meets Vernon."
Yost nodded in his solemn, stoic fashion. "Even though I want Martha Sue to pick me, I want her to be certain of her choice." A few uncomfortable seconds of silence followed, when Martha Sue was sure every eye at the table was on her. They no doubt wondered why she was so cruel to a man who was clearly in love with her. Zach Reynolds must have noticed Martha Sue's distress, because he started in on a wonderful, horrible story about a leg amputation he'd performed last week. Zach almost never talked about medical procedures during dinner, but he must have recognized that this was an emergency. Martha Sue was deeply grateful. Soon, all the family but Martha Sue and Yost were eating and visiting and laughing. Martha Sue nibbled on a piece of corn, and Yost had taken 3 sips of water. He leaned closer to her and whispered,
"Who is Vernon Schmucker?"
Yost was unfailingly kind. There wasn't an ounce of censure in his voice. Martha Sue nearly choked on a kernel of corn. She took a drink of water.
I don't know him."
"But you came all this way to meet him?"
"I didn't come all this way to meet anybody. Mommy invited me, and you know very well why I had to leave."
"You didn't have to leave," he said. His voice was raw with pain, even as his expression was unreadable. He was obviously trying to keep his emotions in check for the relative's benefit. His eyes searched her face. She had to look away.
"Please, won't you come back? I've missed you. I've missed your smile and your laugh. It seems like you used to laugh almost as often as you took a breath."
She swallowed hard and tamped down the regret that threatened to bubble out of her throat. She couldn't indulge in regret. Regret would lead to uncertainty, and uncertainty would lead to giving in. She had to be strong for both Yost and herself. "Where is Jonah?" she said, because changing the subject was easier than talking about things that couldn't be changed. He winced as if she'd poked him with a pin.
"Spending Christmas with my mom and dad."
"And he doesn't mind that you're here?" Yost looked stricken. He closed his eyes and lowered his head.
"You know very well that he does."
She shouldn't have asked that. It only hurt Yost to be reminded. But maybe he needed the reminder. His coming here meant he had forgotten why they couldn't be married. Dottie piled a heaping helping of mashed potatoes on his plate.
"So, Yost, tell us about yourself. All we know is that you like our granddaughter enough to take a 12-hour trip to Bonduelle in a snowstorm."
He stroked his beard.
"And that you're married, or were once married."
Married Amish men grew beards. Unmarried Amish men were clean-shaven. Widowers usually kept their beards, and Yost had a nice beard, without a speck of gray.
"Since you like my granddaughter, Lord willing, you're a widower."
Mommy threw up her hands in dismay and sent her fork flying into the kitchen behind her.
"Felty, what a shocking thing to say."
She stood, maneuvered around the table, and pulled another fork from the drawer.
What did I say?"
asked Dottie.
"You said you hope he's a widower. It's a terrible thing to hope that someone's wife is dead."
Dottie frowned.
"Ach, I suppose you're right, Annie. I'm just concerned that a married man is pursuing our granddaughter." "You're very sensible, as always, Felty."
Mommy sat back down, propped her fork on the table like a staff, and leaned toward Yost.
"You're not married, are you?"
Yost leaned forward as well.
"Let me put your mind at ease, Anna. I'm not married."
"Ach, well, that is good news."
She frowned to herself.
"But not good news that you are a widower. Or are you a widower? Some single men grow beards. If you aren't a widower, I take back my condolences.
Yost had been devastated by his wife's death, but time had a way of smoothing out the sharp edges, softening the pain, and sweetening the memories. He smiled kindly at Mommy.
My wife died 9 years ago. Cancer. It was very hard.
We're very sorry to hear that, Zack said.
But, Fro, you're not married, Mommy said.
She drew her brows together and fell silent, obviously unsure if it was more appropriate to be glad or sad.
Do you have children? Andy Esther asked.
Yost's gaze flicked in Martha Sue's direction. Yeah, I have one son, Jonah. He is 13 years old.
Ach, I love that age, Mommy said. They're so full of life. Everything is an adventure.
She beamed at Martha Sue.
Don't you just adore him?
Martha Sue stared at her plate, struck mute by the question. She couldn't have yelled fire if the house was burning. Yost nodded. He certainly knows how to get himself into mischief.
So sad to grow up without a mater, Mommy said. But I'm glad he still has a father.
The wrinkles deepened around her eyes, and she went quiet. She was obviously torn once again between being sad and glad. Yost picked up his fork. He was young enough that he doesn't even remember his mother. It's both sad and a blessing. We've always been very close. We do everything together because we've always only had each other. He glanced at Martha Sue and laid his fork on the table as if he'd just lost his appetite.
Ach, that's wunderbar, Mommy said. Both Felty and I were very close to our fathers. I lost my mater when I was 9, and my dad raised me. He is the one who taught me how to cook.
Martha Sue felt an inkling of a smile for the first time since she'd sat down at the table. They had Großdaddy Yoder to blame for Mommy's bad cooking. Any amusement Martha Sue might have felt fled the minute someone knocked on the door. Cousin Katie was closest to the door, so she stood and opened it. A wall of frigid air blew in, along with hundreds of snowflakes.
Come, Rue,
Katie said, stepping back to let the newcomer in. Whoever it was looked very much like a real snowman. He was covered in snow from head to toe, and his belly was as round and large as any well-built snowman. He wore a black coat, a straw hat, and a blue scarf on his head that came down around his ears and was knotted around his chin. Katie closed the door, and the stranger stomped his boots on the mat and took off his hat and scarf.
Vernon, Mommy exclaimed, you're here.
She jumped from her seat at the table, bustled to Vernon's side, and brushed some of the snow off Vernon's coat.
Did you have a hard time making it up the hill?
Breathing heavily, Vernon took off his coat and handed it to Katie.
I had to walk the horse up the hill, pulling the sleigh without me in it.
He looked around the table until his gaze landed on Martha Sue. He waggled his eyebrows up and down.
I kept going because you promised there would be pie and a pretty girl.
Martha Sue strangled the napkin in her hands. Vernon had a pasty complexion, a missing tooth, and unruly eyebrows that floated over his face like two hairy caterpillars. Martha Sue's heart fell to her toes. This was the man Mommy wanted her to marry? Just how desperate did she think Martha Sue was? Martha Sue took a deep breath and silently scolded herself. She, of all people, shouldn't be so quick to judge a book by its cover. She certainly wasn't pretty enough to have high expectations. But even if Vernon was the nicest, handsomest man in the world, it didn't matter to Martha Sue. She had decided to never marry. Mommy seemed pleased that Vernon had noticed Martha Sue first thing.
Something unexpected has happened, Vernon, she said, gushing with excitement and anticipation. I didn't know when I invited you, but there is more than one person interested in Martha Sue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?